Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agnate Mirandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadanmayam Dadanti Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Ru Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishika Tamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakapa Dhruvyasya Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai. So today we're in the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 Chapter 15. We're covering three verses today, 22, 23 have no purport, and then we'll do 24. We'll chant the Sanskrit on verse 24. But I'll read the Sanskrit first on 22 and 23. Rajam Shayanu Pristanam Sudram Nasrit Pure Viprasapa Vimudhanam Nainantam Mushtibir Mitaha Barunim Madiram Pritva Mado Matir Chitasam Agnyatam Manonyam Chatur Pancha Vade Shitaha. O King, since you have asked me about our friends and the relatives in the city of Dwarka, I will inform you that all of them were cursed by the Brahmanas, and as a result, they all became intoxicated with wine, made of putrefied rice, and fought amongst themselves with sticks, not even recognizing one another. Now all but four or five of them are dead and gone. Prayanaita Bhagavata Ishvarasya Visheshtitam Mityo Nainanati Bhutani Bhavayanti Cha Yan Mitaha Prayanaita Bhagavata Ishvarasya Visheshtitam Mitonayanti Bhutani Bhavanti Chayan Mitaha Prayanayante Bhagavata Ishvarasya Visheshtitam Mitonayanti Bhutani Bhavayanti chayan mitaha Prayanaitad bhagavata Ishvarasya Visheshititam Mitonai Nanti Bhutani Vavayanti Chanyan Mitaha. Payenaitat Bhagavata Ishvarasya Visheshititam Mito Nayanti Bhutani Bhavananti Payenaitat Bhagavata Ishvarasya Visheshititam Itoni nanti mutani Avayanti Vaishnavis. It is almost by Bhagavata of the personality of Godhead. Ishvarasya of the Lord. Visheshititam by the will of Mitiha one another. Nainanti Dukhil Bhutani, the living beings. Bhavayanti, as also protect. Cha, also. Yat, of whom? Mitaha, one another. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Factually, this is all due to the supreme will of the Lord, the personality of Godhead. Sometimes people kill one another, and at other times they protect one another. According to the anthropologist, there is nature's law of struggle for existence and survival of the fittest. But they do not know that behind the law of nature is the supreme direction of the supreme personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the law of nature is executed under the direction of the Lord. Whenever, therefore, there is peace in the world, it must be known that it is due to the goodwill of the Lord. And whenever there is upheaval in the world, it is also due to the supreme will of the Lord. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. Whenever, therefore, there is disobedience of the established rules enacted by the Lord, there is war between men and nations. The surest way to the path of peace, therefore, is dovetailing everything to the established rule of the Lord. The established rule is that whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we sacrifice, or whatever we give in charity must be done to the full satisfaction of the Lord. No one should do anything, eat anything, sacrifice anything, or give anything in charity against the will of the Lord. Discretion is the better part of valor, and one must learn how to discriminate between actions which may be pleasing to the Lord and those which may not be pleasing to the Lord. An action is thus judged by the Lord's pleasure or displeasure. There's no room for personal whims. We must always be guided by the pleasure of the Lord. Such action is called yogah, karmasu, kolshalam, or actions performed which are linked with the Supreme Lord. That is the art of doing a thing perfectly. God. So, Maharaj gave us such a great understanding of the why, a philosophical reasons of why Krishna left and why he left in the way that he left, and he took the Yadu dynasty. So I was going to tell that pastime today. And here in the Bhagavatam, Arjuna is giving this devastating news to Yudhisthira. And it's quite a bit of devastating news. It's not just that Krishna has left, the queens are gone. It's also the whole Yadu dynasty is gone. It's quite shocking, quite disturbing event. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna, his appearance and disappearance is like a road show or a concert. You know, they have these big, huge musical concerts these days that travel. And they set up. It's quite a huge endeavor. They set up and they perform for a couple hours and they break down and go on to the next town. And so Krishna does that with his transcendental pastimes, but it's even a greater, magnificent event in that he actually brings part of the spiritual sky. He brings Vrindavan. He brings the Jamuna. He brings Govardhan and Radhakund. And he leaves them here too. He takes somewhat, but he leaves still this Vrindavan. And so his presence here has a profound effect. I mean, who can remember the concert they went to 5-10 years ago? What happened? But here we are 5,000 years later still talking about Krishna's activities and relishing them and sharing them. So at this time, there was a assembly of sages headed by Narada Muni and Vishvamrita. These were great, great saintly sages. Angira, Kasyapa, Atri, Asita, Durvasa, Bhrigu, and others. They arrived at Pindaraka to sacrifice and perform ritualistic activities to help lighten the effect of Kali Yuga that was coming onto the earth. And at the same time, by Krishna's arrangement, the boys of the Yadu dynasty were there, including Samba, who was very dear to Lord Krishna. Samba, as you remember, is the son of Jambavati. Also, he's an incarnation, or not incarnation, excuse me. He's a he's also Kartikeya, who appeared to help Krishna in his pastimes. And Kartikeya is the son of Parvati and Lord Shiva. So he had his own pastimes of wonderful Kshatriya activities in the Krishna book. But as a young boy, he was called Samba, which meaning mama's boy. So he was very, very dear to his mama, a very sweet boy. But he was here with these other young boys of the Yadu dynasty, and boys will be boys, right? And they saw all these great sages, and they thought they would get a laugh on the sages. They decided to play a prank, and they dressed Samba up as a young woman. And this is quite disturbing in that they wanted to play a prank on all these sages. This is very offensive. It shows contempt and ridicule of saintly persons. And there's really no room for that. they also shows a lack of understanding of how much sages understand materially and spiritually. They're not just one-sided. The boys are thinking by doing this prank we'll be able to laugh at the sages because they won't know that Samba's a boy and they won't understand that he's not really pregnant. So they'll be wrong whether they guess boy or girl. So this is very tragic. It's very tragic. And Krishna chose this example to teach the tragic effect of making offense against devotees. It's very dangerous to be offensive against devotees. And he chose his own family to suffer this tragic event. So Samba dressed as a woman and pretending to be humble, the boys went to the sages and they said, "Oh, learned brahmanas, this black-eyed woman is pregnant and has something to ask you, but she's too shy and embarrassed and to inquire for herself, so we're asking for her. Is she about to give birth to a boy or a girl? And since all of you are such great sages with infallible vision, please tell us whether her child will be a boy or a girl." Now, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he notes in this connection that this impudent behavior of the young yadus or the sages headed by Narada is a deviation from the path of Krishna. Because Krishna never treated brahmanas this way. He never treated sages this way. He was always extremely, extremely respectful. Remember how he treated Sudama Vipra, the brahmana who came to visit him. He got off his own bed and let the brahmana sit on his bed while he worshipped him. So this was a complete deviation from Krishna. And because of this ridicule by deceit of the sages, they became angry. And they said to the boys, "Oh fools, this woman, as you call him, will bear you an iron club that will destroy your entire family." Now, Krishna choosing this dramatic example of his own family, and it shows us the danger of offending the devotees and the power of a brahmana's curse. We should be very conscientious of this in our own lives and how we associate and talk and speak with devotees. We're so fortunate to be in association of devotees, and that this is a blessing. And that can be taken away very easily. So we should pray to the deities to learn how to associate with devotees, how to speak with devotees in a way in which is encouraging to the devotees. It's an art. But if we have any plans of getting on to the spiritual sky, we have to learn this. Because in order to get there, we have to know how to properly associate with devotees. In the 70s, there were two great leaders, and they were powerful leaders, but they didn't like each other, and they were offensive to each other. And they would go to Prabhupada and complain about each other and cause difficulties to each other, and then they both left Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada noted the reason they left was because of their offenses to each other. So even if we think someone may not be such a special devotee, maybe not so intelligent, or we don't see them as so devotional, we have to understand that to Krishna they're very dear. And Srila Prabhupada had once chastised a very prominent sannyasi by telling him, "I am spending 2 liters of blood in making every single devotee, and you're driving them away." So when the boys heard the curse of the brahmanas, they immediately became very sober and very concerned. And so they uncovered the belly of Samba and they found this iron chunk, this club of iron. And they were scared. So they went to King Ugrasena and asked him, "What should we do now?" And Ugrasena, he advised them, "Well, let's grind up the club into powder. It can't hurt anyone that way." So they ground and they ground and they ground it up to powder. And then But there was one piece of this iron that wouldn't grind. And so Ugrasena then, he told them, we're going to take all this powder out into the ocean. So they got on a boat and they went way out into the ocean. They dumped all the powder and mixed in the water. They threw this one part that wouldn't grind and it fell down the water. And a fish came and swallowed it. So as the currents came and the waves came, it washed this powder onto the shore where there were reeds of grass growing. And this fish was caught by a fisherman and taken to the market, where a hunter named Jara bought the fish. He cut open the fish and found this chunk of iron. And he decided it would make a good arrow, and he put it on the end of the shaft of his arrow, and he put it in his quiver. The powder mysteriously was absorbed by these reeds. Mystery of Krishna. So, approximately 36 years after the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was looking in the sky and he was seeing these very, very ominous, disturbing signs in the sky. And so he called all the yadus and he said, you know, I'm seeing some disturbing signs, so we should go to Prabhasa Kshetra and we should fast and we should bathe and we should fix our minds in meditation. We should perform some ritualistic sacrifices with the help of brahmanas. And we should then afterwards worship the brahmanas properly by offering them cows and land, gold, elephants, horses, chariots, and dwelling places. And so they did this. All the able-bodied, strong warriors of the Yadu dynasty, they went there, and with great devotion, they performed the religious ceremonies according to the instructions of the Supreme Lord. And then after the ceremony, they were feasting, like we all do, but they were given, Krishna had allowed them to be given, under his instruction, rice wine. And they began drinking this rice wine liberally and indulging more and more. And because of the excessive drinking, they became intoxicated. And then they became arrogant. And they became bewildered. And quarrels started breaking out amongst them. And the quarrels were escalating. And they were getting infuriated, and they started grabbing their weapons and using them on each other. They were using swords and clubs and spears and arrows and attacking each other on the shore of this ocean. They were started to ride their chariots and their elephants and donkeys and camels. They were even riding bulls and buffaloes and human beings. And extremely outraged, intoxicated warriors were fighting in an insane way. They came together so violently, attacking one another, like elephants attack each other in the forest with tusks. Pradyumna was fighting with Somba. Akura was fighting with Kutimboja. Sumitra was fighting against Saratha, and the Gada twins were fighting each other. Brother against brother, uncle against nephew, cousin against cousin. Satyajit, Banu, blindly intoxicated, were bullying each other. The Yadu clan included the Vrishnis, the Bojas, the Satvatas, the Madhus, the Suravenas, the Kuntis. They were all slaughtering one another. And when all the bows were broken, where all the arrows were gone, they grabbed the stalks of cane, and with bare hands, these stalks turned very, very strong and sharp, and they started using them on each other. Krishna and Balaram entered this madness and tried to stop it, but these Yadus were so intoxicated, so bewildered, they didn't recognize Krishna and Balaram, and they turned on them. So they left. And they went to the shore of the ocean, where Krishna watched Balaram sit down in a yoga pose and meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna watched him leave by merging into himself. The violent anger of these warriors who were overcome by the Brahman's curse and bewildered by the Lord's illusory potency now led them to their annihilation. Just like in a bamboo forest, the bamboo rubs together and starts a fire and it burns the whole forest. Lord Krishna saw his own dynasty was destroyed. He thought at last the burden of the earth is removed. And so Krishna went and sat under a pipala tree. A pipala tree. Pipala tree is a smaller tree, not very significant, signifying this universe and this world, which is not significant. And as he was sitting there, he assumed his four-armed form. His radiance was like molten gold in his color, the dark blue cloud. His beautiful smile anointed his face in all auspicious marks like the Sivatsa and the Kastuba jewel were visible. His sharp-shaped earrings glistened. His silken garments were ornamented by a belt. He wore bangles and arm ornaments and a helmet and other royal emblems. He took his left foot and he placed it on his right thigh. The bottom of his feet are like red lotuses. And he sat there. And the breeze shook his peacock feather just a small amount. When just then, Jara came along, and he thought he saw a deer through the bushes, which was actually Krishna's lotus foot. He took that arrow from the club, and he shot it at Krishna's foot. And then he went to see what he had shot. And when he saw it was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he fell down. He started crying and screaming in agony. What have I done? Please, my dear Lord, take my life now. I cannot live my life knowing what heinous crime I have committed. Krishna told him, don't worry, this was my plan. And just then, an airplane from the spiritual sky appeared. So Jara took the permission of Krishna. He paid his obeisances and he circumambulated Krishna three times and he entered that airplane and left. And then Daruka came looking for Krishna. It was such madness. All these dead great warriors, great yadus. And then he could smell Tulsi. So he followed the fragrance of Tulsi till he came to Lord Krishna. And then he became so overwhelmed with grief, he cried. His eyes filled with tears and he offered prayers to Krishna. Krishna, what can I do now? What can anyone do now that you're leaving? And as he was making these prayers, the chariot of Lord Krishna, with all its four white horses started rising in the sky, going back to the spiritual sky, the flag waving. And then Krishna's weapons raised up, and they followed the chariot back to the spiritual sky. Krishna told Daruka, he said, go to Dwarka, tell all the family members what happened. Tell them Balaram has left. And everyone must leave Dwarka because it will go under the sea now that I am leaving. Contact Arjuna and get his protection. Take everyone to Indraprastha. Which brings us back to where we are now in the Bhagavatam, where Krishna has returned to Indraprastha to tell Yudhisthira what has happened. That Krishna's pastimes have ended on this earth planet, and he has gone on to take his pastimes to another planet. The demigods have left to take their post, and so we are here now. But we are not completely bereft. Krishna left. Krishna left his impression on this planet. He left his pastimes and he left his instructions through the Bhagavad Gita. This reflects Srila Prabhupada's mood, as that this earth is like a house on fire. And our main business is to get out and to take as many people with us as possible. So, all these beautiful, powerful, incredible members of the Adu dynasty died in this drunken rage. And as Maharaj just explained, there's nothing on this earth for us. For us, everything is somewhere else. The Sukadeva Goswami, he explains in the 19th chapter of the 10th canto that he's concluded that there's five particular excellences of Krishna's appearance in this planet. Formerly, before Krishna appeared on this planet, the Ganges was known as the purest of all things. Even an impure thing could become pure by touching the Ganges. But due to Krishna's presence, we now have Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radhakund, Jamuna. And the second excellence is he gave protection to the devotees and he annihilated the demons. But they got the same benediction, they got liberation. However, the devotees chose the liberation of Krishna's association, whereas the demons, they chose the impersonal effulgence. But still, it was spiritual, as we heard from the reading this morning. And three, the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by demigods like Lord Brahma, Indra, Chandra. And she is known for being very fickle, but she always remains in the service of Krishna. She tried her best to become on the equal level of the gopis and was not successful. Nevertheless, she remains faithful to the Supreme Lord. And the glories of his name. The glories of the name, the fourth excellence of Lord Krishna's appearance concerns the glories of his name. It is stated in the Vedic literature that by chanting the different names of Lord Vishnu 1,000 times, one may be bestowed with the same benefit as chanting the holy name of Lord Rama 3 times. And by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna only once, one receives the same benefit. In other words, all the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, including Vishnu and Rama, the holy name of Krishna, is very powerful. But the name of Lord Krishna is specifically stressed. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And so Lord Chaitanya introduced this chanting of the holy name of Krishna in this age, thus making liberation much more easily obtained than in any other ages. In other words, Lord Krishna is more excellent than his incarnations, although all of them are equally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the fifth excellence of Lord Krishna's appearance is that he establishes the most excellent of all religious principles, and that is Sarvadharma, is to surrender unto him. And that by just surrendering unto Krishna, one to discharge all the religious principles mentioned in the Vedas. There's approximately 20 of them in different shastras. And in this age of Kali, 3/4 of the population is not interested in any religious activity. But that chanting of Hare Krishna can be done by anyone. It's so simple and so sublime. So thank you very much. Is there anyone who would like to add something? Yes, Maharaj.
It's a very small point, and it has to do with what you just mentioned, the power or the potency of the holy name of Krishna. It is mentioned, I forgot which Purana it's mentioned in, but that the name of Lord Ram is 1,000 times more potent than the name of Vishnu, and the name Krishna is 3 times, has 3 times that of Lord Ram. So in other words, 3,000 times more potent than the name Vishnu. So therefore, you get a lot of bonuses when you chant the name Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
Sometimes many people know this incident, but they don't know it very deeply. So sometimes in India, people they say, "Oh, Krishna killed by Jara by arrow." So how, what kind of power he had? He just got killed by arrow. So how can we make them understand about this?
Because Krishna, that's his humor. Is that who's killed by a shot in the foot? You know. Actually, one time I threatened my son, "If you dare join the army, I'll shoot you in the foot." Because no one dies from being shot in the foot. But Krishna arranged this pastime so that the atheists could have a way of continuing their atheistic mentality. Is that this is just part of his pastime. Because this is this material world. Krishna allows there to be atheists. He allows there to be agnostics. He allows there to be terrorists. He allows there to be so many different mentalities here. That's why we don't belong here. Because our mentality is Krishna consciousness. Okay. Thank you. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
And then the mother and father of the jury, that's right there.